Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is Danny from The Grad Report, and you're listening to the Cold Case Podcast.
Court case.
All right.
One more time.
All right.
Welcome to the Gradual Report, where we gradually report.
Hello, this is Danny from the Gradual Report, and you're listening to the Court Case Podcast.
Wee, perfect. Thank you so much.
He can do it! So good.
Bonjour, and welcome to the Court Case Podcast. You're joined with me, Sweet Tea.
And me, James Court. We've got an amazing show lined up for you today. We've got a special guest on the podcast today, the YouTuber Danny Grosdich, who hosts The Gradual Report, a YouTube channel with hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
373K, to be precise.
Perfect. And has had millions of views on his videos. We are going to have a great chat with him about life, YouTube, what he's up to. All of that is coming right after this. Okay, so welcome, Danny, to the Court Case Podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. It's so funny. Just before you pressed record, You're like, if you say anything, you can delete it. Now the only thing in my head is like all the things that I should not say. Like that's all I'm thinking is like, okay, don't say this. Don't say that. You'll get canceled for this. You'll get canceled
for
that.
Oh, gosh. You put pressure on me.
I'm just like, oh, God, now what can I say?
You'll be fine, I'm sure. No worries. Well, the reason that I wanted to get you on the show is because you are one of the OG YouTubers. You started in, like, 2007. And YouTube started in 2005 or 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been constantly making videos since then. And Well, to be honest, when I think about like original YouTube, you know, like Double Rainbow and Charlie Bit My Finger, Your How to Kiss video, that's like in the list for me as like...
I was the first one. I was the first one to put a How to Kiss video on the internet.
Yeah.
That's a cool flex.
Yeah.
That was 39 million views. And I was like, if you went to Google and you typed in How to Kiss, my face popped up. Molesting fruit.
Yeah. In fact, that very video was the reason I got a YouTube account. I was in secondary school, so like high school here at the time, and my friend showed me it in class, and we were both just creased up.
You didn't search it yourself.
No.
Your friend showed you. Right.
That was it. I swear to God.
Was your friend? No.
I believe you.
Thank you.
I think the friend was trying to tell him something.
Oh, probably. Then I went home and I was like, I need to find this guy. I need to watch it again. And so I made an account, and I think you're probably one of the first I subscribed to.
Very cool.
There was another memory involving your videos from my childhood as well. I went to a youth club in a town near me when I was a young kid, and there was computers at the youth club, And at one point I was bored and I started watching some of your videos. And there was one video you did where I think you're talking about types of sex or types of sex positions. And you just screaming the word sex. And the youth club runner thought I was watching porn. So they banned me. They banned me from the computers.
No. You were just curious. You were just wondering.
Yeah,
exactly. You've got quite a history there with the old searches, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh no!
Hope you find what you're looking for.
Do you remember?
Try adding a XXX to any query, and you'll.
Yeah, I just have to delete my search history after this interview, just in case. Do you remember filming the How to Kiss video?
I do.
Yeah. Did you think when you were filming it that it was going to become a huge, huge thing?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
I did. No, really. I literally said to myself, I said, okay, I get it. I've made, at that point, I'd been making videos for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I've been on the front page of YouTube, I think like 3 times.
Okay.
And that was back when YouTube was just a list of videos. Like you go to youtube.com and it was like basically just a list of videos and it was like you were chosen to be on the front page and that video immediately gets, you know, 200,000, 100,000 views or whatever. And I did a video called How to Take Out Your Christmas Tree. Yeah. Like 270,000 views in the first like weekend. And I was just like, oh my God, I've made it.
Yeah.
Here I come. Hollywood. Right.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, after I fell off the front page and I wasn't really getting a whole lot of views anymore, and I was just like, okay, I got to do a video that's, like, forever good and one that has everything that I know makes people laugh and is funny. So all, like, the, like, you have gum just off screen, right? All that, like, oh, I had props just off screen was like, whoa, surprise! Somebody thought something out.
Yeah.
And then a commonly searched thing, you know, how to kiss. And I figured kids were into that. And so I basically put it all together with the fruit and the watermelons and the punching the guy at the end. And I was basically like, okay, if I make this video and I make it the best I can make it and it doesn't go viral, then I fucking quit. I was just like, I'm done. Like, I know nothing. I know nothing.
Yeah.
And I made it. And like, I think like 2 weeks went by where like it was just regular. I think at that point I was pulling in like maybe 20,000 or 10,000 views per video. And I was just like, okay, so I know nothing. And it's all just a random occurrence and who cares? And then all of a sudden, maybe like 3 weeks later, the algorithm on Google picked it up. So anytime you Googled how to kiss, I showed up as the first video, like
oh
the only video.
God.
So it was basically like I started getting views from like all these Arab countries. Like the UAE and like all these Muslim kids were typing in how to kiss. Great. It's a true story. I looked at the demographics. They got that analytics, man. I was just like, wow, I'm huge in Dubai.
That's fantastic.
And then it just started. And then it started taking off like everywhere, like Australia and the US and just everywhere. And it was just like, it was just fantastic. Cause that's when the money started rolling in.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, oh, you're making $500 a month on YouTube, and then you're making like $8,000 a month on YouTube.
Wow.
And then in the height, I was making $30,000 a month.
Wow.
Bloody, yeah.
That's
like,
cool.
Like $1,000 a day. I was just like, yo, I'm rich. I rented a house in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
I got a matte black BMW with 20-inch Giovanni rims. I got a badass Repsol Honda motorcycle so I could drive to the gym because I didn't feel like parking. It was such a nightmare to park.
Yeah.
I worked out at UCLA and had a pool with a koi pond and all that shit.
That's, in fact, I think I remember your koi pond in a couple of your videos, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It was you had a second channel where you did a joke a day or something.
That's yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that.
Diary 09. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually the first, well, not the first, but like one of the very first everyday vlogs that existed.
Mm.
Shay Carl called me and he was just like, dude, I'm thinking about vlogging every day. And I was like, you should. He's like, because he's watching mine and he's just like infinitely more interesting with his like 9 kids and his wife and
yeah,
you know, that whole bent they had. And then from him, I think Charles Tritt, like a bunch of people started vlogging every day. And they were just better at it and it just got better. I was like a single dude who was like trying to be funny and it was just like not interesting. I needed a lot more interesting shit. But then you got your YouTube just changed. Like Casey Neistat came up and he was like a filmmaker who like vlogged every day. And then Logan Paul came through with his Vine following and it's just a totally different world now. And I love what it turned into because I was just like, it's super entertaining, but I'm also kind of like pissed at myself for not staying relevant.
Right.
You know? And I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm weirdly famous in small, like in Dubai or in Serbia, Montenegro and Croatia and Bulgaria, like the Eastern Bloc. I did a series of YouTube videos called, what is it? Serbian Lessons Guy.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to get to that later. Yeah.
Oh yeah, well let's do your questions because I could just ramble. I mean, you were talking about me, so I'm like, I know a lot about that. Yammer on and on, but yeah, what do you want to know?
So if you look at your channel, you've done quite a few different types of videos. You've done like the comedy ones, like How to Kiss. You've done a few travel ones. Like I was reminding myself of some of yours this morning, and I was watching another favorite one of yours, which was Epic Hike to the Top of a Mountain, where you went with your friend Oliver to the top of a mountain.
Yes.
And I was wondering, because your content varies a lot, what's your favorite type of video to make?
Oh, man. That is, you know what? All of them? I know it's like a bullshit answer, but here's the thing. The reason they're so varied is because I get, like, if all I did were hiking videos, I would want to never go hiking.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
If all I did was science experiment videos, then I'd just be like bored. I'd be like, okay, I'm done with this. I hate it. Right. But basically what happens is I keep it interesting for myself. So I'll do like a hiking. So like that day, the hiking video, like I wanted to go hiking and I was like, oh, let's make a video of it. Right.
Yeah.
Or I'll be on the internet and I'll find like a, what do you call that? Like a science experiment. I'm just like, oh, dude, I bet we could take that and just add like, you know, fire to it in some way and make because like I did that one with the candle where you put the cup over it, it sucks the water up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, what if instead of water, it was alcohol? And it just basically like exploded and caught fire and I was just like, yeah. And then for a while, I was trying to get in this. I remember when Logan Paul was like smashing all those plates.
Gotta love him.
I was like, oh, dude, I got to get into that. So I started freezing these big blocks of ice and I started just like smashing those. And I was just like, this is just a fucking mess.
Oh, my God. Have you ever met Logan Paul? Like one of those?
No. I never. I mean, no. No.
Have you?
Just no.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of YouTubers, but they're all like super OG. Like Philip DeFranco.
I really rate Philip DeFranco. I'm a big fan of him. What was he
He's
like?
Fantastic. Oh, he's okay. Exactly like you imagine, just fantastic. But I don't think people realize how focused or how like, you know, just kind of like he's got his thing and he's doing his thing. And if you're not in his radar or on his circle, then just like, yeah, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Just friendly, super friendly though. Assam was all right. Who else did I meet?
He's gone off the radar a bit. Kasim G, is that who you were
talking about? He made his money, right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't give a fuck. No. He's part of that maker group, and they all got like millions of dollars when they sold to Disney. Mm. I imagine he just got a bunch of money and was just like, fuck it, I could give a fuck about it. And so the motivation isn't there. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not like, yeah, it's like I talked to him yesterday or anything. He's just not on the YouTube, so I don't fucking know.
Because he was like one of the first people that did the whole talk to people on the street videos.
Yeah.
And they used to be so good. That was really good content. Mm. And obviously, Shay Carl was one you mentioned already.
No, Shay and I were good friends for a bit. They all moved to Venice and I was out there in Malibu. And then I lived in Venice for a while and we all hung out. And then I'm just not, I wish I was more, I guess, a team player.
Yeah.
You know, because they basically were like, oh, we're doing this thing called The Station. Right. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's going to suck. And then they were like, oh, it's turning into Maker Studios. And I was like, how's that work? Who's getting the money? And they're like, no, you know, we're all just sharing it. It's all going back into the company. And I was like, yeah, that's bullshit. That's never going to work.
Yeah.
And then they ended up selling it to Disney for $860 million.
Jesus.
But in fairness, it didn't work. Like, Disney just basically did nothing with it. Like, it ended. So the premise, like, I wasn't wrong, but I wasn't right in the sense that everybody got millions of dollars for being a part of it. And I feel like if I had played my cards right, if I had been a better team player, I probably could have, like, weaseled a piece of that pie or something. But I don't know. I just wasn't that savvy.
Yeah, I get you. Have you been, like, keeping up? Because there's some of these YouTube teams that are sort of, like, getting in hot water and things at the moment. Like, what's his name? H3 did a thing on him. The really popular one.
What, Jake Paul?
No, not Jake Paul. The vlogging one. The 420 vlogs. What's his name?
Who are you on about?
David Dobrik.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah, David, yeah.
Yeah. You haven't been had any contact with those sort of groups? Because they're in, like, those crap
dudes,
at the moment.
Those dudes came in from Vine, like, well after me. And so they had their clique and their group. Mm. And it's very not difficult to get into touch with them, but it's you meet them. And if you don't have the subscriber count or you don't have the views, you're not hot, you're not sizzling, then it's very, very calculating. You know what I mean? Like, even DeFranco is kind of like, and here's the thing, like, this is the game, right? YouTube is a game, and it's 100%. Like, what are you bringing to the, like, why would I do, like you, it's like, imagine walking up to, like, Jerry Seinfeld and being like, hey, Mr. Seinfeld, I got this great idea for a travel series. You know, it's me and you, and we're just going around just bullshitting, you know?
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, why would I do that with you?
Yeah. I get you.
You know, it's like, it's going to be great because I'm a part of it, or, you know, Seinfeld's a part of it, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't bring anything to the table. So the thing about the Vine kids is they came up kind of bouncing off each other. Mm. And so they were always, like, kind of, creating that energy and that insanity, right? I mean, if you think about how Logan Paul came up, right, on Vine, it's a 8-second format, and they just, like, make something funny in 8 seconds. So he would, like, go into grocery stores and, like, jump on the, you know, the scanner, you know,
like
a whale, and he would, like, run up and, like, sniff people, right? and they would just do, like, just these insane. There were basically coal miners, right?
Yeah.
Who would go out into the real world, get their little piece of coal, and then bring it back to the internet world.
Yeah.
But the weirder and crazier they are in the real world, the bigger they are in the internet world.
Mm, I get right? you.
So it became this little kind of like a microcosm of these people that were just the more outrageous and the bigger and the better and the bigger and the more. And until you find a dead body in a Japanese forest.
Oh, my God. Right? Yeah.
And then it's like, and then everyone's like, oh, how could he have even thought that was an okay thing to film? It's like, have you seen the trajectory? Like, was there any other way this could have headed?
Oh, you know?
And then you see Dobrik, and you're like, oh, is he in hot water?
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Did he make some people kiss each other and they didn't know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shocked. Shocked. I can't believe no one pulled back. Here we're giving them millions of dollars to keep pushing it further and further. And it's like, you know, it's like Steve-O and Jackass, you know, it's like, so he, you know, he put a fish hook through his cheek and jumped in with some sharks. Like, of course he did.
Yeah.
Evo, and the show's called Jackass.
Then he got then he got arrested at SeaWorld. Didn't he?
Of course he did.
So, like, what type of videos would you watch nowadays?
Oh man, I love Dobrik. That dude's awesome. I love all of them, dude. I love I just did the. Here's the thing, though. You can't not watch it. It's like,
no, fantastic. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It's
yeah,
fantastic, good fun. But I also tend to do a lot of how to. Mm. You know, like my, I bought a truck. I bought a Ford F-150 because nice. I'm a handyman now. I fix people's stuff here in the desert.
Come on.
And yeah, that's where my life is. So I got a truck and I got it for $3,000 because there was no air conditioning and it's crazy hot out here. So then I went on YouTube and I was like, you know, typing in the old F-150 2000 air conditioner broken. And so it's like, you know, top five things that could be wrong. And then I went to a junkyard and I just took apart all the shit that was in this other truck to figure out how to get to the part. And then I took the part and switched out. Now my air conditioner works. So.
Nice.
That honestly wasn't as interesting as I thought his answer was going to be.
I did a video about, I filmed something in that same junkyard with a trailer hitch. Like I like took a trailer hitch off of some junky car and put it on my truck and just stupid shit. Like I like, but those videos are like so hard to film just because you have to make it clear, like which bolt. And you have to do each camera setup. It's like just an absolute chore. And so I was just like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Speaking of different things you filmed, there's one video in particular that you made that was really unlike a lot of your other videos that I find myself sometimes coming back to because I thought it was so well made.
All right.
I really love it. It was called, the video is called Great Love Story. And it was you, it was a script done from your stand-up. And it was the one about knowing the girl's name.
Yeah.
And it was like really well filmed and you had actors and it was great. And I just wondered why you've never done anything like that again, because I love that video.
That video was fantastic. Mm. And it is fantastic. And I was living, that's when I was living in Beverly Hills. All that was shot in that Beverly Hills house. That takeaway when I'm there with the thing at the koi pond. I mean, that's all right there. I had crazy money, right?
Yeah.
And I had nothing but time. Like my whole purpose in life was to make videos. Mm. So it was like all 100% focused on that. Mm. And I would do stand up and I had these great stories. And the stories basically come from like when you're at a party and you're telling stories about like, oh, this one time I had a threesome, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever story it is you get up to. But anyway, so I told this story once about not being able to remember this girl's name. And everybody was like, you should call her. You should call her now. And so I called her. And everyone was like, what's your name? She's like, fuck you, you piece of shit. Like, I don't want to like tell you my name. You know, like she took it, you know, the other way. She was not excited about me forgetting her name over and over again. So then I was like, oh, I got to. And my friend Alex he wanted to be a director or is a director. And he's like, dude, I would love to make that into a thing. And I was like, sure. So I wrote it out for him. And then we spent 3 months every weekend, right? Because like none of the actors were paid, none of the actors, and everybody has something better to do, right? So we filmed it like every Saturday evening for 3 months. Because that's all we could get time for the other people. That's the only time they were available. So it was kind of like you were working with people who had better shit to do, who were taking their time off from their regular lives to meet with me for 4 hours to get this one scene.
Yeah.
You know, and then next weekend we'll get the next scene and the next weekend we'll get the next scene. And it was just such an amazing chore to like – get all that together with the props and the locations. And it was me, like 90% of it was me, you know, but then it was like, okay, we have his dad's office. Right. So we shot like that scene with those five people, you know, one weekend.
Yeah.
But everybody. And so trying to like get that group together again, like let's say we missed something and it was like, oh, we need to get that five people together again in that office. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's not gonna. And it's just like, oh, like fucking so logistics is the reason I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Simple logistics.
It is a beautiful video though. I'm a big
fan. Yeah, it is gorgeous. Mm.
I wanted to get into some of your traveling because as I've watched you over the years, you've stayed in different places. I've seen you in like Australia and America. And so like how many places have you lived in?
Oh, I was born in LA, Glendale, right? And then I lived in LA until I was 3 or 4 or 5, 6, I want to say. Yeah. And then I went to Palm Springs until maybe 10, then back to LA, and then back to. I was always the new kid. I went, by the time I was in 12th grade, I had been to 14 different schools.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That's yeah. So it was like every like year I was in a different house, different school, different. So I was always the new kid.
Yeah.
Right. Which was fun in its own way. But it kind of, you develop like an interesting, I want to say like psychosis.
Right.
Because I don't value people as much because I'm like, I'm not going to know you in a year.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not going to know you. So what's cool is that I get to reinvent myself every time. So I'm always like a new guy. Like I get to be this guy now, right?
Yeah.
And so like I would always say things that like maybe hurts people's feelings, maybe pisses them off, maybe you know, but also like makes great friends. And but you know, I'm not gonna know those friends either. So I had this like whole bent on life, and that was like my formative years. And then I went to UCLA and then law school. And then after law school, I was like, yo, I'm fucking done with school. Like I'm out. Like yeah. Fuck this, and fuck work, and fuck life. And so then my girlfriend at the time was like, she was getting her master's in nursing, and she was like, I'm getting my master's, and she was thinking of going to Johns Hopkins because it's a great medical school in Michigan. And I was like, okay, fuck that, you know. Like there's no way. I'm the only regret I had was that I didn't go to the University of Hawaii.
Ooh.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because it's basically a vacation, you know, so you might as well just go to a nice vacation spot. So I convinced her to go to the University of Sydney, Australia, and get her master's in nursing.
Okay.
And then I went with her to Australia and lived with her for 2 years.
Wow.
In
Australia.
Yeah.
And then we came back to the United States and we're in LA for a bit. And then we went to live in Vegas for 2 years. And then that's when the Serbian lessons thing was taken, like really popping off. So then I went to Serbia for like 9 months to do like a big tour and then ended up falling in love with this other girl and then told the girl that I had known, you know, the whole, like the last 10 years, was kind of like, hey, I'm in love.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Else. And she's just like, yeah, fuck you.
And is that like, the one you know, who you forgot a name and then you had to call her up and ask her what her name
yeah.
was?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a real shitty thing for me to do. But, you know, the heart wants what the dick wants. And we can...
That's the saying.
That's how it goes. So then I was in Serbia. And then that girl wanted to be a flight attendant. And she got a job as a flight attendant in Dubai, you know, Emirates.
Bloody hell.
So then I lived in Dubai for 2 years with her.
Wow.
And flew everywhere for like free. So that like a lot of that travel stuff, like I could fly to Japan and back for like $80.
That's jeez. So good.
Round trip.
Oh my God.
Fuck it out.
So, and because I was there on a US visa, every 30 days, my US visa would expire and I would have to leave the country and come back in. So I had like a... like I must go somewhere.
Right.
I see. Yeah.
Plus she's a flight attendant, so the flights were like coming out of her whole thing. So it was literally like, you know, Cambodia, let's do it. You know, nice let's go to Russia. Let's go to, you know, just everywhere. So that was a lot of it. That was a lot of it.
Cool.
So yeah. Yeah. You know, I got the sweet end of that deal for sure.
Oh.
being cabin crew is a very tough job.
It's what I want to do. Mm.
Yeah, it is just imagine jet lag
all the time.
Forever. It's just, but it is phenomenal. I can't recommend it enough. I mean, as far as seeing the world and you get on planes like people get on buses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I want to go to New Zealand for the weekend. Let's, you know, it's like $35. Here you go.
So out of all of those countries then, what would you say is your favorite one?
Oh, that's the thing.
They all have different places in your heart, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I mean, everywhere you go is about the people you're with.
Yeah.
100%. Because you could go to Disneyland, but if you're going with your ex-wife.
True.
It's not going to be the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, of course. You know?
So it's all about the people you go with. It's 100% about that. But here's the thing. If you go somewhere cool as shit, you meet people that are cool as shit as well. Mm. Right? So when I was in Cambodia, it was there for the New Year, and everybody's like throwing powder on everybody and doing the water gunfights in the streets. And it was just basically like a lot of fun. And you could just strike up a conversation with anyone about anything and just fucking have a great. And that's the thing. You have to be open to that.
Yeah.
You can't go there and be like, don't get it in my hair. You got to be like, yo, spray me, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the oils out.
Absolutely.
Weird.
Have you been to the UK?
I have.
How did you find it? That's obviously where we're from.
All right, here's the thing about the UK.
Oh, God.
You guys are really into coins. Really into coins. And the coins are worth a lot of money.
Christ.
You go to some places and it's all paper money. Like Cambodia, right? Mm. They use American dollars, and then their change for less than a dollar is their currency. It's actually like 25,000 ren is 25 cents, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
But in the UK, what their biggest, their smallest paper note is what, 10 pounds or something like that? Five pounds?
5 pounds.
So a 5 pound note, which is like what, $8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $8 is the smallest paper money. So if it's less than $8, you're dealing with coins.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember walking out of a bank and I had like four pieces of paper and I was like, I am so poor. What is this? Nothing. And then I buy something and this guy gives me like a satchel of coins. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this, like, and they're all thick and one's 2 pounds and one's one. And I'm like, this is $3. This is four. It's like I had at the end of a week, I had like 80 US dollars in coins. And I'm just trying to like figure out what pence is. So basically, there's the start. Here's the start of the UK.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's such a nightmare. And it's like your pockets are full of coins everywhere you go. It's like heavy and. So there's that. But you guys have a lot of stuff that isn't the same, right?
Right.
So like we'll sit there and we'll watch Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll just be like, this is the greatest. Oh, the manners and the poise and the, you know, and the whole thing. And then you go to a football game and you're like, who are these people? Why are they screaming and throwing up in the streets?
Oh, don't get started.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's that. And then you see I did the tourist thing. I saw Big Ben. I got on the eye. I saw all the shops and all the, you know, Piccadilly and the circus and the time, the trains, they all come on time. And I spent quite a bit of time there because my first wife was born there. Yeah. And so we went there for Christmas a bunch to see her family. And they had like great, great houses, and her grandparents were out there. So I've seen quite a bit of the country.
Wow.
The countryside as well. And, you know, the M1 and the traffic and the,
yeah.
And the rain. Oh, you can't forget the rain.
Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful. The weather's just fucking beautiful. But the buses and but it's very like, if you don't have a reason to be there, you know, and you're not making money while you're there, you're just going broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're like, how much for a hot dog? And they're like, 4 pounds. And you're like, okay, so $9 for a hot dog? Like,
yeah.
The fuck? I like, it's only four of your thingies, but it's like nine of mine.
Yeah.
So
I get you.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
You've made me kind of want to leave the UK. Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. And Ed Sheeran's great.
Yeah. He's not too bad, to be fair.
That's
yeah.
So
he's
random.
Just not on every street corner like you expect him to be.
No,
he's not.
He is that kind of guy that looks like he could just be hanging out on
anywhere.
Yeah,
and you mistake people for him all the time. I mean, when I'm there, I do. I'm like, it's Ed! They're like, nah, mate, nah.
Are you one of those Americans that's obsessed with the royal family?
No.
Because you get a lot of those.
Yeah.
Because I've been to America a couple of times, and as soon as they hear that I'm British, they go, oh, how's Prince Harry?
You know them personally. Yeah. It's so weird.
No, I couldn't name their kids. Like, I don't know who can. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. But I mean, they're celebrities and they're rich, I guess. Yeah. But I don't. Other than that, I don't know. Princess Diana was the last one I really kept up with.
Fair enough.
Because she seemed to be kind of in the same Hollywood circle that I keep up with, you know, just like, you know, your DiCaprios and your, I don't know why this shit pops up in my newsfeed, but I must have searched something at some point. And so they're like, hey, you got to keep up. But I've never searched for the queen or her offspring.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that she's still going.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool thing.
You know, what is she, like 1,000 years old now?
Something like that.
Yeah, almost 100, I think.
And she found the country or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But then her kid, Charles, like, he's going to be king for all of 20 minutes?
I think so, actually. I don't think that's a far stretch from the truth. No. He's not going to be king for that, though.
No, he's not.
She had him young, and then the kid, the next one is, William, I think?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, yeah, good old Billy boy. He's gonna step in there. He's got a righteous brood going as well in there.
He does.
They're gonna keep going, man. I don't see them stopping. They got a lot of support.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, there's a lot of taxes going their way. I think she's on the money in Canada and Australia as well. So,
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to move on and chat about Serbia a little bit.
Yeah,
you have your Serbian lessons video, and you said earlier you're quite famous in Serbia. What is it like there? How big a following do you have?
Fucking amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to be a famous person, a joyful famous person, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, I don't mean like infamous. Like, you know, don't go out there in like, you know, murdering people or something. But what I mean is like. What I mean is, like, I got known as – I did a thing called the Serbian lesson, right, where I speak Serbian kind of sort of, right?
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, my grandmother took me to Serbia every summer to just hang out with other kids in the neighborhood and all that, and I picked up the language. But I speak with, like, a southern drawl, you know, which is kind of like a farmer's accent, if you will, right? But it's very specific to Vojvodina, which is the north of Serbia. So I have like a northern farmer accent. And that's just how I learned it. And that's how I speak it. And that's just how it's going to be, right? I didn't learn it in school with you know, whatever accent that they teach or whatever. So when I speak, it's like, who's this hick? But it's like a very specific hick from a very specific part of the country. So they're just like, how the fuck do you know that dialect?
Yeah.
Right? Which is what makes it so hilarious, because I basically speak it with American thoughts, but with like a hickish accent. So everything I say is funny.
Right.
Just on its face. It's like, imagine you talk funny and everything you say is hilarious to the people you're speaking to. Right. That's basically the premise of the Serbian lessons. And so I say, you know, ridiculous things with swear words and all that stuff. And it took off. Like, it went huge. It went viral in the country. Like, there are lots of people there. Like, the country only has like 7 to 10 million people in it.
Okay.
Right. And their biggest city is Belgrade, and it has like 1.5 million people. And my Serbian lesson videos all together probably have like 20 or 30 million views.
My God.
Right.
So you figure the numbers game, it's got to be like 1 in 10 people would have seen one of my videos.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
That's at some point. Right. Yeah. So when I go there, I just like, if there's a group of 45 people, guaranteed 5 of those people know who I am.
That's cool.
Right. If there's a group of 100 people, you know, the numbers just go up and up. And now if you concentrate that within age groups, right? So people from this age to that age, like if I go to a club, right? Yeah. And it's teeny night, right? And there's a bunch of like, you know, 16 to 25 year olds, right? That generation of people, 90% of them know me.
Cool.
That's crazy. Right?
So it's phenomenal. Like, I get on a bus and if I stay quiet, nothing happens. But if I say anything, people turn around and they go, I fucking know you, bro. to the point where, like, I was getting picked on in the street. Some dude was picking on me because I was American. And he was saying something like, oh God, what was it? We were at Exit. I don't know if you guys know about Exit Festival.
Right.
But it's like, it's this big rager. And it's over at like 5 in the morning. So 5 in the morning, we're at one of these Piescovi places where they get the burritos, the little, not burritos, but Piescovi. It's like a burger.
Right.
Like a gyro for you guys out there. Okay. Or what would they call that? No, it's not a gyro. It's what's the food after you go to a club in the UK?
Oh, kebab.
A kebab. That's it. It's like in Australia. Kebab. So yeah. So it's like a kebab. So and everybody's sitting on this wall. And so my girlfriend was like, she saw a spot. She went to sit at that spot. And that was the only spot available. And this guy comes running up like, oh, that's my spot. She kind of rolls her eyes at him, kind of like, oh, God, like this fucking guy. So she gets up and we start walking away. And he's like, don't roll your eyes at me. Just kind of like, look, you know, chill out. We gave you the spot. I'm walking away. Mm. You know, forget about it. And he's just like, oh, you think you're American? You think you can come here and do whatever you want? And I was just like, oh, okay, this is going to be one of those situations. Right? I was like, oh, huh, bro, hold on a second. I take my watch off, right? Take my phone out of my pocket. I hand it to my girlfriend. I'm just like, yeah. I'm the fucking American, bro. I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh, God.
Right? And then what happens is this crowd comes around us, right? And this dude walks up to me. He's like, hey, I know who you are. And don't worry about this. We got you. And I look around and there's literally 30 people like ready just to beat the fuck out of this guy.
Oh, wow.
And
I was like,
oh, no. Yeah. And he and his friends kind of pick up on it. And they're like, no, we're just good Christian people trying to make our way home. We didn't mean any trouble. And I was like, wow. I've been pulled over by cops. And I remember, oh, this is a great story. Actually, I got two more for you if you got the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on.
Just like being famous in Serbia. Outside of like people stopping you and wanting to take pictures with you. And like if I'm in a restaurant, people come over to the table and take pictures. And like the chef will come out and bring like a special dessert for me. And, you know, so there's like all kinds of amazing perks that come with just like just the sweet. And everyone's so loving and endearing and just grateful. And because I like they laughed and they thought it was funny. And so it was kind of like, you know, so I come when they meet me there. It's always like a happy thing. It's like, wow, like, you know, like a unicorn. I found one, you know, like,
yeah,
something like that. But I remember one time I got pulled over and I was in such a bad mood. I was like, I don't know. I want to say mentally weird, but I was definitely not in a good place mentally. And I was like, you know, I don't want to say depressed, you know, but I was definitely like what else could go wrong today?
Right.
And I should have just stayed home and fucked this world and the whole thing. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm in that mood and I'm driving. This cop pulls me over. And as soon as you get pulled over in any country, Cambodia, it doesn't matter what country you're in. The cops are just kind of like, oh, tourist, you know, an American passport. Oh, let's get some money. Let's get some money out of this guy. And so he wasn't doing that, but he was kind of like, oh, you know, like what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know, man, you pulled me over. Right. And he's like, well, open your truck. Now in Serbia, in the cars, you have to have a first aid kit, and the first aid kit has to be current, meaning every first aid kit has a stamp on it that has a date of when it expires. For the bandages and stuff.
Got it.
And so I had a first aid kit in the trunk, which is what you have to have. And mine was expired by like 3 months.
Right.
Right. So he's just like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. You've got an expired first aid kit. And I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, come on. What do you mean? What are you going to do? Just let me go. I'll get a new one. You know, don't worry about it. And he's like, well, no, I can't do that. I got to write you a ticket. And I'm like, all right, well, write your ticket. You know, I don't give a fuck. And he goes, well, maybe, you know, there's a way we can work this out. And I was like, nah, I'm the ticket guy. That's me.
Yeah.
I got a passport. You write your ticket all day long. I give a fuck. I'll wipe my ass with your ticket. Like, you know, what's going to happen next? Right. And he looks at me. He's like, well, you can't. He's like, you can't talk to a cop like that. And I'm like, why not? Like, why can't I? What? What are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? And he's like, well, you know, we could arrest you. And I was like, I'd love to see you try.
Jesus.
I was like, I would fucking love to see you try. I go, dude, if you, he's like, and then I'm starting to get a little aggravated. And he goes, have a seat. And I go, hey, fuck you. I'm not going to sit down. I was like, how about this? How about I take your baton and I fucking crack you over the skull with it? How about that? You know, I was like, I'll get arrested today, but I'll give you a reason to do it. And he just kind of takes a step back and he looks at me and he's just like, the fuck's going on, right? Like he's looking at his friend and his friend's sitting there looking at me, and I'm just like, oh, I'd love to see you try, dude. I want to be the guy when we get back to your precinct, right? And they say, why are you arresting this guy with, you know, the American citizen? Why are you arresting this guy? It's like, oh, because he had an expired, 3-month-old fucking whatever the fuck, you know. I'm like, no, you're hassling me, and fuck you, and fuck, you know, fuck this, you know, the whole thing. And then and the dude's like, look, man, you really got to calm down, you know, because you're getting, you know. And then his friend, his partner, mm-hmm. right, yeah. comes in and goes, I knew you from somewhere. He's like, this guy's a comedian. He's just fucking with you, bro. He's just fucking with you. He's the Serbian lessons guy. He's like, my kid loves you. My kid's all over your shit. This is fucking hilarious. He's like, can I get a photo with you? He's taking pictures
of me.
Yeah. And then they're just like, and the older cop is just like, I don't fucking understand this world. You can't talk to people like that. You're going to get your head cracked in. And I was like, not today. Not today, buddy.
That is so lucky. That is great.
Jesus, that's ballsy.
I didn't give a shit, dude. I've done that once in Cambodia, too, where I just like had enough. Mm. And I was just like, I ran a red light, and they pulled me over. And they were like, you ran a red light? And I was like, yep. And they were like, you can't just do that. And I was like, dude, I've seen your streets. I've seen how you people drive. I was one of 35 people that ran that fucking red light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is mayhem out here. I'm out here on a scooter risking my life. I don't know why. And they're like, well, you can't do that. We're going to have to fine you. And I was like, nah, I've already been fined today. I've had enough of the fines. No more for me. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
And then I stood up. You know, he was like, get off the bike. And I stood up, and I was just like, I don't know, 6 feet taller than him. And then I was like, what did I yammer? I said something, and he was like, sit back down on the bike. And I was like, make me. And he just looked at me like, oh, this is going to be a problem. So he gets on his whistle. He starts blowing the shit out of this whistle, and out of like, I don't know, like 30 seconds, like 45 police officers showed up and a couple of military dudes and the whole thing. And I was just like, oh, this is fantastic. And I pulled out my camera and started taking pictures of everybody. And they were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. What the fuck's going to happen? You know, I kind of want to see what's, you know, I'm going to have a story to tell. I want to have photos. You know, you guys are going to start hassling tourists or beat the shit out of me, or we're going to get into a fucking kung fu situation. Like, I don't know, but I want to have some video of it.
Yeah, yeah. Start vlogging.
Yeah, yeah. And so they were like, all right, look, things are getting out of hand here, you know? And I'm just like, I'll say. And they're like, if you delete the photos, we'll let you go. And I was like, okay.
That was easy.
Sure, I'll do it. I was like, what do you want it for, war crimes? Like, who are these people?
Oh my god.
Thank you for those stories. Those are fantastic.
I got a million of them.
Sounds great. We're coming towards the end now, but we asked our audience to send in some questions that they might have for you. And I just wanted to give you some. Some of them you'd already answered throughout the thing. One of them was, do you know anyone that actually works at YouTube? Have you ever talked to anybody that...
Yeah.
You know, and you know, what are they like there? Because there's some people that think that they're quite detached from the creators, or is it a good relationship?
Well, here's the thing. I was with YouTube before YouTube got bought by Google.
Right.
So in fairness, the people that I know that worked at YouTube before Google took over. And so what happened was, there was a shift from, there was these curators, people that would basically say, oh, this gets on the front page, or this is noteworthy, or this is fun. And then what happened was they switched it to an algorithm-based search to make like independent, like your experience on YouTube is completely different than anyone else's because it's tailored to you.
Yeah.
YouTube only wants you to stay on YouTube. That's all they want. So they go, this guy likes cat videos. We're going to give him nothing but cat videos. So a lot of the engineers at YouTube are just interested in tweaking the algorithm to make it more accurate so that you get a better user experience so that you stay on YouTube. I wouldn't say that they're detached from the creators. I would say that they don't give a fuck completely because they know they're more interested in the end user than the creative side. Cause like people are going to watch something, right? They're either going to watch me or repurposed Ellen DeGeneres content.
Yeah.
You know, and it's up to the user to decide what they want to see. And the only thing YouTube wants to do is give the user what it wants.
Yeah.
Right. So I would say that they're not so much detached as much as they are completely and totally ambivalent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that answer.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, we've got another question. Somebody asked, do you see yourself doing YouTube for the long run, long time?
Well, you already have been.
I mean, you have been, but any longer?
11 years, right?
Plans? 12?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't think I'll ever delete the channel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that'll ever happen. But will I continue posting? I kind of slowed down in the last couple months just because money is a thing and I have to earn it in a different way. But I do enjoy posting content. I do enjoy creating content.
Yeah.
And I enjoy audience feedback and I enjoy all that. And so as long as it stays relatively awesome, you know, as long as people are watching, I'll keep posting. But I mean, here's the other thing. Like if I'm the only person watching it as well, like I just went through my Cambodian, that's why I keep talking about it. The travel videos where I drove a motorcycle across Cambodia for like 3 months. And I was like, man, that was such a fucking great period of my life. Like that was just such good stuff. Mm. And I was like, man, if I'm like 65 years old, and I'm looking back on that, it makes me want to make more cool shit now.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Like a memory collection for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Love that.
So I will continue making YouTube videos in the long run, if only to serve as my own personal diary.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
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 How it should be.
A Little Bit of Everything podcast had said, do you think it's just luck to get a big audience or there's other factors?
Oh, always other factors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of factors. Luck is definitely luck. I don't think luck, because I mean, if you look at Mr. Beast, that wasn't luck, right? Yeah. I mean, he just kept throwing shit at the wall. His big breakout video was him counting to 100,000 or some shit.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
you know, and then he said Logan Paul's name 50,000 times, and the guy had nothing, you know, and then as soon as he got a sponsorship deal for like 10 grand, the first thing he did was walk out and give that 10 grand to a homeless person.
Yeah.
And then it was on. And then it was like, oh, someone will give him 20 grand. Then he's given 20. Now he's out there giving houses to fucking pizza delivery guys.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not so much like people are like, if you're doing you and you want people to like you for you, then you got to be lucky enough to get in front of 100 million people so that 500,000 of those 100 million people will like you for you.
Yeah.
Right. But if you want to be big and famous or whatever, then it's a pretty set format. You just got to do the Logan Paul or the Mr. Beast or just something interesting that people are going to fucking get into.
Yeah. We got one final question,
which is
from Peter in Bognor. And he says, how many boiled eggs can you fit in your mouth at once?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say five.
Five.
Maybe less. One in each cheek for sure.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking like two and one. So I'm thinking five.
Five.
Fair enough.
Like kind of like in the teeth gap. Huh?
Yeah.
One in the middle and then one in the other tooth and one in the cheek. I'm thinking five. It wouldn't be pretty.
No.
I mean, it would be a mess for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we've got to see it.
Yeah.
But
no, I think
that'll be your next video.
I would choke. Wouldn't I choke? I can't do that alone.
No, you need someone on standby.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, an egg is like the perfect size to just get permanently lodged. It's not like
that's very true.
I mean, if it just got a third of the way down there, and you're in a panic situation, I wouldn't.
Nah, you're fucked.
Yeah. You start chewing, and then no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how Danny dies. No. he was great until he tried to put 6 eggs in his mouth, and they're like, why would he ever do that?
Death by eggs.
Yeah. We're coming to the end now.
Yeah.
For all of our audience, you're the Gradual Report on YouTube, and you have got a Patreon as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Are you still sending postcards on that?
Ooh, here's the thing. I yes, right?
He wants his.
But I haven't done it in a month and a half or 2 months now. Mm. And I'm just kind of like, I got to figure out what to say, right? So you got to figure out, like, it's not just writing a postcard. It's like, you got to do something interesting and then have something to say about it.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point where all I'm doing is making money. Oh, you guys want to see a big pile of money?
Go on.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, hold on. Check this out. Hold on,
let's sorry. Screenshot this and post this. Yeah.
This will be funny. Okay. I recently sold my VW bus.
Oh, okay.
For like $8,000 or something like that. And then sometimes when I do jobs for people, I'll get paid in cash. Mm. Right? So here is... Let me see what this looks like. Let's see. This right here is a stack of 20s.
Very nice.
Oh my gosh.
That's basically $1,000 in 20s.
Ooh, beaut.
And then this is a stack of hundreds.
Wow.
And this is basically $10,000 in $100 bills.
That's a lot better it's a lot better than pennies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's your 20s. And there's your hundreds, buddy. There's your hundreds.
Oh, dang. Wow.
Yeah, so I get paid in, and you can tell they're hundreds because they all have that blue line.
They're thick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. See that blue line? And now.
Very nice.
Wow, anyway, yeah. Dang. So I don't know, almost like 12 grand here.
Yeah.
And the goal is to spend it all next year traveling to like badass places around the world.
That'd be beautiful.
I'm going to go to... Rio de Janeiro for Carnival and try to get out to Ibiza for their Ibiza thing, which is like coming up pretty soon. It's like next month. I might not make Ibiza, but this COVID thing is like, God, everybody, like you go outside and you can smell people's pheromones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, they got that musk, like, yo, I got to get out. You're like, yeah, baby.
I completely get what you mean, but there's no better way to spend the money, to be honest, than traveling.
Yeah, I don't fucking... What's that? How's that saying go? A guy was like, he had $1 million and he spent $500,000 on coke and whores, and the other $500,000 he wasted.
Exactly right.
Not a waste, brah.
Exactly. And a perfect place to end the show, I think.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on, Danny. I'm such a huge fan of yours. It's like, it's blown my mind.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
And fun. Yeah.
Everyone's going to love it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Gradual Report on YouTube.
Over and out.
Awesome.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.